Jackson Show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's the star of our show, John Davidson.
Too excited today. I better calm down. Perhaps I say that every day. Today, I really mean it. Three of the biggest names from the world of entertainment are on our show today. Three great personalities. What do they have in common? We always have to have a theme. We try to have a theme on our show. Let's start from the top. They all have red hair. They're all redheads. When you think of redheads, what do you think of? Give me some names, everybody. Just yell it out. Yes, you think of excitement. You think of what else? You think of dynamic, electric, vivacious, all of that. They are all of that and more. Are you ready? We have television's favorite redhead, Lucille Ball. I just got a tingle when I said that. That's the first time that she's been on our show, and I'm so excited to have her here. She's meant so much to me and to so many people in this business. We'll get into that later. All right. Movie's favorite redhead, the charmer of all time, Van Johnson. Now, you might say, that's enough, John. That's okay. That's all we need. Wait a minute. Oprah's favorite redhead, get ready, Beverly Silk. The clown with his pants falling down on the dance. That's a dream of romance on the scene where the villain is mean. That's entertainment. The lights on the lady in tights or the bridge. Bride with a guy on the side or the ball where she gives him her all. See who is after his ex. It can be Oedipus Rex, where a chap kills his father and costs a lot of bother. The clerk who is thrown out of work by the boss, who is thrown from loss by the skirt, who is doing his dirt. The world is a stage. The stage is a world of entertainment. It might be a fight like you see on the screen, a swan getting slain for the love of a queen. Some great Shakespearean scene where a ghost and a prince meet. Everything ends in peace. He's a gang, maybe waving the flag that began with a mystical hand. Hip, hooray, the American way. The world is a stage. The stage is a world of entertainment. Today, and don't pick up that vacuum cleaner or that typewriter. We'll be right back with Lucille Ball.
What would you do if you had $1 million? Well, start thinking. If your salary is $25,000 or more, you're going to earn more than $1 million in your lifetime. $1 million. How much of it you keep and enjoy depends on the decisions you make about your personal finances. Decisions that could mean college for your kid, the good life for you, a worry-free retirement. But make the wrong choices, and you could see your money fly away. Here's something to help. Money Magazine. Magazine that's all about your money and how to make it do more for you. Money isn't about world finance. It's about how you can get more out of every dollar you invest, spend, or save. Money is about cutting your taxes in ways even the IRS will accept. Money is about your investments and where to put your money now. Money is about your house and innovative ways of financing. Money is learning the winning techniques of master stock pickers and finding scholarships that people overlook. Money is making the right decisions now so you'll retire in style. Money Magazine believes that the more you know about money, the more you'll have. So Money watches the funds and Washington and Wall Street for you, keeps you up with all the money events, from an almost ideal insurance policy to small cities ripe with big opportunities. With all the money changes happening today, now more than ever, you need Money Magazine. Try Money. Call 1-800-621-8200. We'll send you 10 monthly issues at our low subscription rate of just $17.95. And just for ordering, we'll give you this guide to personal money management, free. It has everything from how to total up your net worth to making big money on little stocks. So call now, toll free, 1-800-621-8200, and get Money Magazine. You'll earn more than $1 million in your lifetime, and with money, you'll make the most of it.
Millions of people the world over will never forget the heart that held the title of one of America's great television comedies. When that came on the air, everybody scattered around the television set. The show sometimes got a 70 share. 70% of the country was watching I Love Lucy many, many times. Has never been off the air since it first aired in 1951. After 179 episodes, the Ricardos and the Mertzes became more than our friends. They became part of our family. Who could ever forget Lucy making the commercial for it? You remember that Vitamita Vegemins? Remember that? Or let's take the day she and the Mertzes tried to decide to make a few extra bucks by raising chickens. Do you remember that? Boy, did they raise them. Then, of course, there were the countless times that she tried to get into Ricky's nightclub act. She was always trying to, there she is, always trying to get in there somehow. But through it all, that redhead found a special place in our hearts, and she's with us today. I'm so proud to welcome to our show Lucille Ball.
Much.
We are more than excited to have you today, my dear. I'm especially excited because when I, a short story, when I first got into this business in 1966, you sent me a telegram saying, I think you're great, keep up the work. It was the Kraft Summer Music Hall. Then I would see you at different things and you would say, boy, you're good. And you would even, once you told, there was an article in TV Guide that was sort of critical of me. And you said, why did they say those awful things about you? I'm sure you've supported many people like that over the years.
Not too many.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Are you aware of the enormous impact that I Love Lucy has had on this industry, on the world?
Yes, because of the innovations and because we started so early, mm-hmm. we had a little head start.
Yeah.
And that is very advantageous.
Everyone since then has tried to copy the way you did it.
My writers, they're copying my writers.
No, not just
I them. Knew I was supposed to be in that chair. There's the water.
Okay, let's switch. Let's switch.
All right. I really don't care. I don't have a good side or a bad side that I'm aware of. Do you?
You don't have? No, I don't worry about that at all.
I don't either. That's why I don't know which side is which.
Okay. I Love Lucy, all over the world. That means you're translated into Japan, to
79, 82 countries. I don't know. There's a new country every day.
And I Love Lucy goes there.
Little pieces become new countries, yeah. So I don't know how many languages now, but it's over 80.
Why is it so universal? Why is it funny to everybody?
Well, the block comedy scenes are easily understood. No dialogue at all. And the situation, the predicament that I've gotten myself into is pretty evident early. And the writers were always very, very good at having a beginning, a middle, and an ending that was happy. That's important to people who would like to forget about the world's miseries.
So there's always a happy ending, that's right.
There is a happy ending, and yes. It was the marriage of two married couples, two generations of married couples, so there's identification there. Also, the fact that we, sorry you ask?
No, I want you to say
The other is the financial. Economically, we kept ourselves within the middle class range of a great many countries. Mm-hmm. There are some countries, of course, that don't have any middle class. But in this country, I certainly didn't want to be like a Hollywood couple.
Sure.
A typical Hollywood couple, even in this country, they think that typical Hollywood couples have no problems. We know different, don't we?
Yes, Greg? We do.
Yeah. But so I wanted to be economically a little short always, so that if I needed anything for the kitchen or a new stove or a new this or a new fur coat on my new collar on my coat, I'd have to write a whole show about it.
Yes. I've been so impressed recently with shows like Laverne and Shirley. All the situation comedies are doing bits that you and Ethel did there for so long.
Well, they're using the same writers, but then...
What is that you're doing there?
I'm pulling up a strap that I'm going to...
Lucille Ball doesn't have straps that fall down.
Yes, I do. I don't mean they're using the same writers, but even when we wrote, when they wrote for us, we were copying other people. I didn't know it at the time, but we were doing Laurel and Hardy. We were doing Chaplin. We were doing famous comics that I knew nothing about.
Yeah. Do people have the same reaction to you that we have backstage?
What was it?
The whole studio is kind of in a tizzy because you're here, and because Beverly Sills and Van Johnson too. But
I'm that way because of Beverly Sills and Van Johnson. But my God, I don't know why should they be in a tizzy, John?
Well, because you've done so much in this industry, starting from Chorus Girl, where you played dumb blonde type roles or dumb redhead. Would you consider them that?
What?
The roles. That...
Dumb or redhead or blonde?
Well. Playing.
I was a dumb blonde type. I started.
Yeah.
Wisecracking, what I called the lay a gag and run type. You know, always laid out a smart line and you made an exit. You know.
Yeah.
That was about my style and all I ever got to do until after I did stage. It started with Stage Door, and then I finally did a picture with God bless him, Henry Fonda, and.
That was a breakthrough, wasn't it?
Yeah, what the hell was the name of it? Big Street. Big Street.
Big Street.
Big
yeah.
Street. And then Showgirl I started as, not a pony, not a dancer.
Yes.
And the only show business I ever knew was pictures. I tried to get into show business in New York, and we won't go into that.
All right.
I never made it. Vaudeville was dead, and I didn't know it. Right. I didn't.
I want to go into that in our second segment.
Well, let me go into it.
All right, okay, then we'll see. The 50s were a real turning point for you in that 1951, along came I Love Lucy.
Television.
And television got your comedic sense together, would you say?
Well, I had had bits and pieces of domestic comedy in some of the pictures that I had done. And when they asked me what kind of a television show I would like to do, because after all, this was new to even the networks, and everyone, and most people in pictures shunned television.
Yes.
And said, what do you want to go into that for, whatever that is?
Yes.
And I said, well, we want to go into it because we want to stay home and have children, and we can't have children long distance. Did you ever find that out?
Yes.
You can't do it by phone.
Can't phone.
No, can't phone it in. So we went into television and had, I forgot what you asked me.
I said, what I'm getting around to is that right before you started the show, Desi Jr. was born just several weeks before.
No, Lucy was.
Lucy was first, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Then Desi was born on the air, but it wasn't really Desi. It was...
It was really Desi that was born.
Oh, it wasn't. No, I mean... And you had two children while you were doing the series. How did you raise these kids and do this?
Quickly. Very easily. I had my mother to help, and I had other help, and I had them around me for long, long weekends and very long vacations. We wrapped our work around our children. So you can do that until they go to school, remember?
That's right. And then they're gone.
And then you're waiting for them all the time.
That's right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to go back to some of the early times, find out more about Lucille Ball right after this. We'll be right back.
Bell Telephone's done a wonderful job helping people stay close. You've seen those reach out and touch someone commercials. We at MCI thought you'd like to see something they never show you. What goes on when the bill arrives? If your long-distance bills are $25 or more, call MCI and start saving 30, 40, even 50% on long-distance.
After 45 years in Beverly Hills, W&J Sloan quits. Our lease is sold, and we must liquidate a $7 million collection of the finest famous-name furniture, lamps, accessories, and imports ever assembled under a single roof, and at savings of up to 70%. W&J Sloan, Wilshirt Camden in Beverly Hills, yields with a grace to reason. Our loss is your gain. The sale is on now.
If you've got problems and things are going downhill fast, why not give Ames Home Loan a call? They may help you borrow thousands of dollars on your home. Ames Home Loan.
Tonight at 11.
He's even handsomer than I thought.
Yes, I am.
Get set for outrageous comedy with Saturday Night and guest host Burt Reynolds.
There's no hang-ups backstage, you know. Can't, you know, there's no temperament, no hostility. No open nasal passages.
It's Saturday night, tonight at 11, here on Channel 5.
Lissy, we've shown several slides of you at an earlier stage. That was the showgirl stage, right? That slide.
Yes.
As a child, were you one to jump around the classroom and be the class clown?
Yes, I think, I don't know if I thought I was being funny, but I certainly didn't sit quietly. I did anything I wanted to. I got rapped on the knuckles. I went to a little school where you started in first grade and graduated in the same building. And I loved it, and I loved all the teachers very much, and they were all like, my mother worked at the time, and the teachers kind of took over and said, now, where are you going? Are you going right home? You know, and all that. Yeah. So they were very, very close, and I loved my teacher, Mrs. Appleby, and
you still
Ms.
remember
Pina,
her name?
Pina, yes, and some other names, just McNamara, and
during that time, your father died when you were 4 years old.
I was three.
Three.
My brother was not born yet. My mother was 5 months pregnant.
What was your father figure growing up?
My grandfather.
Really?
Yeah, he was like Truman.
Really?
Yeah.
You mean outspoken, brash, and...
Yes.
Yeah.
He was very much like Truman.
Who encouraged show business, your mother or your grandfather?
My stepfather, my mother, anyone. Everyone, my grandfather. My grandfather used to play Rikki Tikki piano with dirty lyrics. And my grandmother was always saying, Fred, you stop that now. Put those other lyrics back. No, there was an old lady.
The band knows that one, I think. Yeah. Was it always assumed that you would go into show business? Was
no.
there another career that
no,
you might
no,
have?
No. I never heard about another career.
You never thought you might want to be a doctor or a lawyer? Or...
I don't remember making up my mind to do anything, except I didn't want to get married too soon. I wanted to get into show business, and show business to me was vaudeville. That's all we saw in Jamestown. And Sousa's band that came through once a year.
Yes. Jamestown, New York.
And the big bands, yeah, yes. Jamestown, New York. But I lived in a suburb of that yet, Celeron, on Chautauqua Lake. But I never remember wanting to be anything in particular except in show business.
Yes. This took you to New York City, and in drama school, I'm told, they said, forget it.
They did. I was only there for a short, I think it was 6 weeks, and I still have the letter as proof. They sent a letter to my mother, said she was wasting her money, that I should finish school and stay home until I wasn't so reticent. My mother had to look up that word. And
you mean you were shy?
I was shy, awkward, backward, and stupid.
What age?
As a teenager?
Oh, yes. I was 14 that summer.
Well, but as a child, you were entertaining people.
Yeah, what? But the minute I got away from home, I was so home. You ever been homesick?
Yes,
but well. But really homesick. Homesickness is a terrible illness. You can't eat, you can't sleep, you cry all the time, you're sick to your tummy. It's a terrible, terrible, and I was terribly, and I would run away. I would run away, go to New York, you know, hitchhike, do all those things that I shouldn't do, and then get so homesick that I just couldn't stand it. And
in New York City, by yourself at 14?
Well, I wasn't exactly by myself. I had to stay with friends of the family. But that didn't keep me from being homesick.
Yes.
For my mother and my stepfather, my brother, my grandfather. My grandmother was dead by then. She was wonderful. I had a great childhood. I really did. Even without the father figure. And my stepfather happened to be a very nice man.
Mm-hmm.
And a very learned man, a well-read man. He helped me in many, many ways because I didn't get enough education.
At that point, did you have this thing, Sammy,
no.
To succeed?
No.
Never had that?
I just wanted to get into show business, and I didn't know what show business was. I thought it was vaudeville. The only thing that I ever made even the audition for was as a showgirl, but I couldn't keep the job as a showgirl. So finally I said, I have to eat, so I'm going to become a model. And I got a job as a model. I became a good model. And I went from 7th Avenue to wherever Hattie Carnegie was. I can't remember the street now. And some other places. And then I did fashion shows. And then I also did, modeling for artists who did the big 24 sheets.
Nude?
No!
Well, I didn't know. I didn't know.
Nude.
Well, I thought, what's a 24 sheet?
Well, that doesn't mean it's nude.
No, I didn't say it was. I put a question mark after that.
Really?
Would you ever do a nude scene in a film?
No, I'm not that attractive. If I had been that attractive, I probably would have. But I wasn't, so I was lucky. I had to do something else, and that's how I got into comedy.
Yeah, yeah. You were not only did you help me and so many other people, you've helped Van Johnson to succeed in this business in an interesting way. Yes?
I helped Van Johnson get a job, not succeed. There's a great deal of difference.
But if he hadn't gotten the job, he wouldn't have succeeded.
Well, if you want to put it that way.
I do. Can you tell that story before we bring out Van?
Van Johnson was in...
Gee, you kiss well.
Thank you. Van Johnson was in Too Many Girls. He came out with a New York company. That's Too Many Girls is the picture that I met Desi on. And he was of the New York company. And even on the screen, though he wasn't in a featured role, when the, crew cards, what do you call those cards that they get at previews? Preview cards were given out. People were asking about the chorus boy in the second or third line.
Really?
Yes, and I saw the cards because I had the lead in it with Richard Carlson and whomever. And,
but he was going to leave town and give it all up.
Well, this was his very first shot out here, and people were noticing him in the second and third line. And I knew that from the cards. And then I lost track of him. He got a job at after RKO. I guess he went to Warner's. I don't know. He can tell you. And one night we were in Chasen's, and he said, I'm leaving tomorrow. I said, where are you going? He said, oh, I lost my job, and I'm going back home. I'm going back to New York. I said, wait a minute. I said, Billy Grady is over here. Let me just ask him about Metro. I asked Billy. Billy said, come in. I'll talk to you. That was it.
If you don't think that helped him to be a success, it
well,
sure
yeah,
did.
Well, yeah, but I just...
He credits that as the turning point in his career. Let's bring him out and talk about it. Ladies and gentlemen, Van Johnson. Did he wear red socks then?
He always wore red socks.
Did I?
Yes.
Even back then?
Well, maybe not way back then, but later on when I saw Van and he was doing all right, he had on red socks always. And I remember I went to London years later. He was still wearing the red socks, and he was, what was the show, Van?
Music Man.
Music Man. And I enjoyed it thoroughly, but I kept saying to Gary, I can see his shorts underneath his white pants.
No.
For heaven's sake, doesn't he know those striped shorts are showing? And so I went back and I said, Van, really, about your shorts? He said, what about them? I said, they show. He says, I know. So that's Van Johnson, Red Fox.
What's it like being on the show with two of Hollywood's favorite redheads?
Oh, I haven't slept all night.
I'm always very
nervous about seeing Lucille and again and meeting Beverly again. Because you played such a big part in my life, and I never want to let you down.
I introduced you to Billy Grady, and how could you be letting anyone down on this show when everybody loves you?
Oh, thank God.
Listen, we have to take a break and wine for a pause, and we'll be right back. We need this so we can play for the rest of us.
Stop and think about our sun's energy, warm, life-giving. But now imagine two suns. Vegetation withers, lakes begin to dry. Three suns and the earth is lifeless. 50 and it's a seething inferno. Now imagine a billion suns. That's how much energy is given off by a thing in space called a quasar. Imagine all the information needed to create you. Write it out and it would fill 1,000 books. Now imagine all that information compressed into an area so small that you could fit it on the point of a pin. 1,000 times over. That's the miracle of DNA. Imagine a sugar cube. Weighs about 1/10 of an ounce. Now imagine it weighing as much as a cargo ship. 1,000,000 cargo ships. There are stars so dense that a single cubic inch of their matter weighs trillions of tons. Here's a 1-year-old. Suppose I could travel in a spacecraft near the speed of light. By the clock in my spacecraft, I return an hour later. I'm an hour older. But I'll find that the baby is now an old man. That's what Einstein showed. Where can you learn about wonders like these in a way that you can understand? Discover, the science magazine for non-scientists from the publishers of Time and Life. Discover will show you science's wonders and every unexpected finding. Help you understand ecology, energy, medical breakthroughs, all the ways that science affects our lives and expands our imaginations, from ghostly atomic particles to the miracles of your body and mind. Here's a special offer. Call toll-free 1-800-621-8200. We'll send you a year of Discover. 12 monthly issues for just $19.95, a $4 savings off the cover price. Call now and we'll also make your first copy free. You'll get 13 issues instead of 12. So call 1-800-621-8200 and discover what a really amazing universe you live in.
We are back with Van Johnson and Lucille Ball. In working with Lucy early, when was the first time you worked together? What film?
Too Many Girls for Mr. Abbott. Mr. Abbott.
What year?
George Abbott. Oh, John.
Well, I don't know. What year?
39, because we were married in 40.
We were, yes. 39, RKO. And what? You know who bought that place.
Yes. Was she wonderfully crazy then, or was she...
I never thought she was crazy.
I wasn't then. I was playing an ingenue, and I hated it.
Yeah, but...
You hated the straight roles when you had to be the straight.
Yeah, it was the only one I ever played.
Yeah. I still had my autograph book behind me, and when I walked down that lot, my first movie lot in my life... And to meet the great Lucille Ball, who I was always a fan of. But Carol Lombard used to come over every day when we were shooting big musical numbers, and you and Carol were very close. Your mentor. And I see what comes out on that film once in a while, a little bit of Carol.
It's a
zany.
Let yourself go, have fun.
Yes. Only beautiful ladies can do that.
Easy to Wed, you said, was your favorite picture that you've done with Lucy. Why so?
The only one.
No, Yours, Mine, and Ours.
I forgot about that.
That was much later, though.
Yeah. Yes.
That was much later, yes.
19 children.
I'll never forget. I was doing on a clear day at the Muni Opera in St. Louis, and it was summertime. I think they were casting Yours, Mine, and Ours. Lucille Ball was at the head of the table, as usual, casting. They said, well, we need a Van Johnson type. She said, well, why don't you get Van Johnson?
Yeah.
Period. So I had to buy my way out of St. Louis, and so was that. With dear Hank Fonda.
yes. The episode that you did on I Love Lucy, I've had the pleasure of doing a Lucy show. Not I Love Lucy, but Here's Lucy was what it was. Yeah.
That's in rerun now, John.
Oh, good. Yeah. Oh, good. Make some money.
You get about $63 every now and then.
$63. But you did an I Love Lucy. Do you remember
two
the
of them.
Two of them? Do you remember the plot of either one?
Yes, I was a movie star. Typecasting.
Interesting.
And that was the big that series when you were using a lot of stars.
When we came to Hollywood.
Right, when you came to Hollywood. And that was a great one at the Brown Derby we won't go into. But I was a movie star asleep by the pool, and she came down and pretended to be talking to me like this, and I was asleep. But Ethel and... because they looked
you
like...
You slept
talking.
Through a scene with Lucille Ball?
I was supposed to be asleep.
I was pretending I knew him.
She pretended.
Oh, I see, yeah, yeah.
And I was glad he was asleep, because then I could carry on from a distance. They couldn't tell that...
I see, yes. Yeah.
And then we did a song and a dance, and that was about it.
Yeah.
What was the other one you did?
It was, again, I was a movie star coming in from Honolulu.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you remember that?
Did you?
Not as good as the other one.
Did you sense the scene? Did you sense the control, the contribution that Lucy has made to the show over the years? When I did the show, Lucy made suggestions about lighting, about sound, about direction, about writing, about
Marlena.
Everything.
That's Marlena.
Many years later.
Yeah. Yeah. Hepburn. Yes, I saw that, and
no,
I had many years when we were at the big round table in Lucille's office going over the script the first time. And she kept picking on this wonderful character actor who played a big Texan.
Picking on?
Well, helping him.
Giving him suggestions.
Let me finish my story.
Well, all
she said, no,
right.
I'm sorry, John, that is not right. And so afterwards I said, you know, she only does that, John, because she loves you, and she thinks you're a very fine actor, and you were right. And
who was it?
Some brand new guy, never been in pictures, but he was very good.
Lucy cares enough to make it right. That's
exactly. One. She's a perfectionist.
Look what we have dragged out. These are...
Please.
This. Look at this from the 20s.
They're good, man.
This is what... No. These are Fan magazine. I can kid you, man. Look at that cover. Are we going to show it up there?
You used to see the back.
Here's an article. What you've always wanted to know about the real Van Johnson.
It's
what?
All here.
I'm still trying to find out.
What? But we're afraid to ask. What was the real Van Johnson then?
A pussycat.
Yeah?
Yes, what else? I was just glad to be there. I was so thrilled to be in show business, as Lucille kept talking before. I was never thought I'd be in pictures. I was always going to be in shows. And I was an HAP in most of the shows in New York.
What does that mean?
A principal.
I had to ask.
I'm so glad you asked, because I never heard it before.
Really? It's where you step out of line once in a while and have about 10 lines, just enough to get noticed by Billy Grady.
Yeah. How have you changed in the years since then? Have you mellowed?
I got fatter.
Inside.
I stopped smoking, now I can't stop eating. And I just come back from a trip around the world, and I went all the great restaurants from Rome, Paris, Berlin, London, and my manager says, you don't play the theaters, you play restaurants.
How have you changed in these years? If you had that drive to succeed early, have you?
I never had the drive.
No, neither one of you did.
I never had a drive. I just wanted to be there, a part of it, and I was grateful, as I still am today.
I can attest to that.
Yes. Yeah, I never had
it. It wasn't at all pushy.
No.
He was just glad to be there. That's the way I felt.
Yeah.
How do you both feel this town treats? Is Hollywood kind to its veteran performers, to its performers who spent a long, successful career in show business? Is Hollywood good to you?
It's been good to me. I have no complaints, but then I moved out early.
Yes, I was just going to say that. But I think that it's good to people who are good to it. I mean, it's no different from Buffalo, Wichita, or any other place.
Okay.
If you make yourself a part of a community, mm-hmm. it pays back, certainly, many-fold.
Yeah.
But if you pay no attention to it, you just take and you don't give.
Yes.
It's the same in any town.
You left to go to England at one point.
To do Music Man.
And not to live there, just to do that show.
Yeah, it was 2 years out of my life. I never regretted it. I love England. I love England. And over there, once a star, always a star.
Yeah, but do you like their taxes?
Well, I couldn't afford to live there now. You see, I just finished a picture with Ava Gardner, who lives there all the time.
Yeah.
She said, I can't work here because of the taxes. Mm-hmm. But I think since Maggie Thatcher has been in, the taxes are lower. But
yes.
The VAT.
We call Margaret Thatcher Maggie?
Well,
really?
I do get around.
Yes.
Really?
I'm about to bring out now.
Oh, thank God.
Another.
Well, has this been hard on you?
Oh, play for much of that word.
If what's the matter with you, Ben?
I love talking with you on this show. You're
like
so
to know,
good
do
at
you
this.
Cook?
Yes.
All right, that's all I want to know.
But I tell you, one of my early, my first movie star I met was Lucille Ball, and the best drive-in in Hollywood was at Lucille's Ranch. Out in the valley. Yeah. And you know, Lucille, when I tried to get out there last month to show somebody what
gone.
It was, I couldn't find it.
Gone. They bulldozed the house.
Oh.
Bulldozed.
We'll get to you in a minute, John.
Yeah. Another redhead. All right. That you are a fan of, and I am too, is here today. She is the general director of the New York City Opera. Would you welcome, please, Beverly Sills?
Sorry, Tupperware, the party's over. Now you can get top-quality food containers without going to a party and for a lot less money. Introducing VacuFresh, food containers that are incredibly strong and airtight. Watch, this powdered grape drink mix has been submerged for 5 hours. The water is still crystal clear, and the powder is as dry as desert sand. Amazing? Well, look at what you get. First, this unique roast and poultry saver. It's also great for bacon and sausage, steaks and chops. Add this tray, and you can actually store many things separately. It's even a lunchbox. Next, you get this huge rectangular food saver that lets you store everything. You also get this combination celery crisper and spill-proof juicer. Don't panic. This is VacuFresh. Next, you get this salad bowl and lettuce crisper. How much would you pay for these fantastic containers? Wait, you get 12 more in every shape and size. They hold everything. Each container comes with a famous easy lock cover. They're so airtight, you can actually hear them. Fantastic? Well, we'll also give you this moisture-free sugar dispenser. It automatically measures 1 teaspoon. Change tops and you have a drip-proof syrup dispenser. Plus, you get this complete set of measuring cups on a handy wall rack. Every piece of VacuFresh comes with our amazing lifetime guarantee. If any piece is ever damaged, we'll replace it free. You get everything, all 47 pieces, for the incredibly low price of only $29.99. Here's how to order.
COD and credit card customers call toll-free 1-800-228-6565 or send $29.99 to VacuFresh, Box 15263, Los Angeles. You get the complete set, all 47 pieces. If they're not the best containers you've ever used, return them for a complete refund. Order yours now.
Famous redheads. Beverly, I don't know whether I should reveal this or not, but there came a point in your life when you became a redhead. Does everybody know that you are not naturally?
They do now.
Well, but I bring it up. I bring it up because I think it's a funny story.
Is
how
it?
You became a redhead. Have you ever heard that story?
I thought she was a real redhead.
Me too.
Well, I think redhead all the time.
But tell that story.
Well, what happened was I went out on tour with the Schuberts when I was 15. And there was a society called the Gary Society, which was
the Gary Society.
Prevention of cruelty to children.
Animals.
And yes. Children. And since my father didn't approve of my going on the tour, he wouldn't let my mother come. So Mr. Schubert, by law, had to get a chaperone for me. And it was her job to see that I got on the stage and arrived and was escorted home and went to bed at the right hour and everything. And it was also her job to do my hair. She, at that time, used to dye her hair blue-black because everybody had blue-black hair in those days. And I was using a tar soap to keep my hair, at the time it was blonde.
Tar
soap, it was called. And lovely chaperone had two weaknesses, gin and airline pilots. And on this
they don't mix.
Well, they did that night, and when it came time to do my hair, we had this big joke that one day how she'd mix the dye, and she did, and I got my hair streaked blue-black with the occasional blonde in it. And she went into a panic and sobered up immediately and ran out and got household ammonia and stripped my hair, and it turned chalk white, because in those days they didn't have the nice stuff they have today that you can fix up anything.
Listen to the ladies saying, they know what you're talking about.
Well, you see, I called my mother. I used to call every Wednesday, collect, just to tell her I was fine, and this wasn't a Wednesday.
Where was she?
She was in Brooklyn, and I said, and I was in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I said, Mama, something terrible has happened to me. And there was dead silence. And my father got on, and he said to me, for God's sakes, what happened? And I said, I accidentally had my hair dyed black. And he said, oh, for God's sakes, wait a minute, your mother fainted. I'll have to pick her up. And he, you know, sort of adjusted her and propped her up. And there I was with my white hair. And I said, I don't know what to do now. And she said, well, you can't put blonde on white, so the only thing left to do is go get some red. So we ran out to the drugstore and got some red, and that's how I became a redhead.
Well, but then it must have grown out soon. Who decided to keep it going?
I did. Because there's no question that redheads do have the most fun.
Do you think?
Oh, yes. There's no question about that.
It's a happy color.
It is.
But we have to stay out of the sun.
Well, I wouldn't know. The real ones do. We were remarking downstairs how that tiny little bud on that table is almost the same color as your hair. It picks up on the screen. It's incredible.
Yes.
So it's happy like a little flower.
But whatever happened to that chaperone who went along with you?
Well, she got married. I hear from her all the time.
Yeah,
everything's fine there.
Why weren't your folks with you at that point in your career?
Well, you know, this is going back. I'm 52 and I was 15. So how many years? 37. Well, 37 years ago, it really wasn't the best profession that a young girl could go in. My father didn't like the idea of my going on stage.
Families don't pick up and just go.
No, you see.
Well, but your mother or your father alone, where was your backstage mother?
There wasn't any. In a European Jewish family, that's the one I come from, I have two older brothers. All the efforts go into educating the two older brothers, and the girl, if she's lucky, gets married. If she's not so lucky, then she can always become a school teacher, because that's the only respectable profession for a young woman. So since I didn't want to teach school and was determined to go into show business, my father just wasn't going to have any part of it. And he wasn't going to let his wife go off on tour with me. And it was as simple as that.
Did you face that same thing from your mom, saying, don't go into this awful profession?
No.
Was your mom in the business?
No.
No, Dee Dee.
No, Dee Dee played piano. Yeah. And just for her own amusement.
Yeah.
And as I say, my grandfather played Ricky Tick Dirty. And that was it. No one.
But it was okay to go into show business at that.
Yes,
yeah.
They
was she American born,
to...
your mother?
Pardon?
Was your mother American born?
Yes.
That might be it. Because I think the Europeans came over to this country with a whole different culture.
Oh, of course.
And, you know, America was such a, at the beginning, I'm sure.
Show business has always been looked down upon through the centuries.
But a man like Mr. Schubert, apparently he came along and was a great developing force in your life. He put you in your first strapless gown?
My first strapless gown, my first upsweep, and my first high heel shoes, and I didn't know what to grab first.
What's an upsweep? I should
hairdo,
know all this.
An upsweep hairdo, all the hair puffs. In those days, I didn't need that.
When did you become an opera singer?
When did I become an opera singer?
When did you go from the light opera circuit of the Schubert to going opera?
My father and I reconciled when I was 16. He to the idea that I was going to be a famous opera star, but that meant education. It meant fluency in many languages and really settling down, not going off on tour to do The Merry Widow and Rosemary and Gilbert and Sullivan, but really settle down to
very hard. Was someone in your town, in your small community or
Brooklyn
neighborhood know that you had a potential?
Yeah.
Well, you know, my mother, when I was very little, brought me over to Major Bowes Amateur Hour, and I won. I was like
that
7 years old. I was seven. And then he put me on his Capital Family Hour. And used to talk to me before.
What did you sing like then?
I imitated Galacourtche recordings, so I sang Caro Nome. I have recordings of it. It's not bad.
Oh,
Caro Nome from Rigoletto, the bell song from Lacme.
At seven?
At seven.
Yeah. And it was the major who said to my mother, you really ought to do something with her, because she seems to have this terrific ear for music.
Indeed, Major Bowles.
Sure.
Yes, yes.
I had a wonderful time with him. He used to let me talk a little before I would do one of my 22 arias.
That's where the talking started.
That's compulsively.
Yes, yes.
And then...
The reason why I bring that up is that I have to stop you.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
We have to pause for a commercial. We'll be right back.
Oh, my...
For 3 days only, you can save $1,000 on a mink jacket. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and only at May Company Fur Salons. These mink jackets are just $1,299, designed from superb female mink peltries. Save $1,000 and choose from silky Emba, rare quality natural lunarane, Kohinoor, or rich-dyed ranch mink. All of our other precious furs will be marked down for a limited time, too. So come into May Company's Fur Salons this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and save like you've never saved before.
An irresistible force and a dazzling musical legacy come together in a stunning Broadway explosion of music, song, and dance.
Don't miss me if it ain't got that swing.
Duke Ellington's sophisticated ladies at the Schubert Theater. To charge tickets, call 553-8101.
Get this sensational 17-piece cutlery set absolutely free. Yes, absolutely free. Just call VB Carpets now and get an in-house estimate with no obligation. For example, carpet your entire home for as low as $45.78 a month, including padding and installation. And if you own your home or are paying on it, regardless of past credit experience, you can qualify for 100% financing. Call VB now, 970-9000 or 996-1000 for carpeting at warehouse-to-you prices, and carpet your entire home for as low as $45.78 a month.
Tonight, at a special time, someone is about to come into some money.
I'm going to track this guy down. Then what?
And if you try and stop them, a nice place in the family plot can be arranged.
I won't breathe a word.
William Devane and Karen Black.
Now we'll have to eliminate these two ourselves.
Are making room for Bruce Dern and Barbara Harris in The Family Plot, complete and uncut, tonight at 7:30 on Channel 5.
I've done some reading about our director of the New York City Opera. Our director, Beverly Sills, has memorized and could do them tonight 70 roles.
Not simultaneously.
Wow.
Wow.
How many of the characters that you've played could you still be able to do from all the films, Van?
None.
But that's because you never did the films all in one piece.
No.
It's not like a broad. I bet if you took a look at the script you did on your Broadway musical, that you could probably get it back in an hour.
Would you do Wildcat tonight?
Probably.
Well, not tonight.
Tomorrow morning.
All right, let's take some of the roles and go through them, all right?
Well,
the amazing thing about going through these roles is that even though you're the director of the New York City Opera Company now, it took you 9 auditions to make it as a singer in the company to play these roles.
Yes. Well, that's because I had this peculiar concept about what opera stars should look like. So I would take my hair and tie it into a bun and wear very high neck dresses, and I thought all opera stars should be very sedate. And really, the director of the company then, an adorable little man by the name of Rosenstock, liked big, luscious girls, and I should have caught on to that right away.
So what'd you do on the 9th audition different from the rest?
Well, I used to wear jumpers with high-necked shirts, so I took off the shirt. And I dropped my hair.
That'll do it
every time. And I walked out to the middle of the stage a little bit slower, as if I wasn't in so much of a hurry to stop for the high notes.
After 9 times.
He came, and we were old friends then, and each time he would write, phenomenal voice, no personality. So when I found out about that, I decided to show him that I'd somewhere buried in this introverted young girl was a personality. So when I walked out, he said, "Vel, vel, vel, what do we have here?" And I knew I wouldn't have to sing that audition at all. I was hired like that.
Did you sing well that time?
Oh, terrific.
So you had both going at the same time.
Of course.
All right, let's start off with Queen Shimaka. Am I saying that right?
Oh, I hope so.
Who was that? I should know.
Well,
that,
it's in an opera called The Cock Door, you see. Yes, and I did a belly dance. It's a terribly funny role. And
you sang with that thing on your head?
Yes. What was very interesting about this, it was staged by Capo Bianco, who did all my opera performances, and he usually worked very hard on my characters, and we were into this rehearsal 10 days, and he had me standing in the middle of the stage while everybody was moving around like lunatics, and I was just standing there singing my little guts out and never moving. And finally I said to him, Tito, I don't work like this. I can't stand here like this singing. And he said, well, I would later, don't worry. And then I said, can I at least see my costume? I haven't even seen a sketch of what I'm going to look like. Later, don't worry. It got to be 9 days before the premiere, and they brought in the costume, which was empty from here to here, and just chiffon. So, you know, I'm a pretty big girl to do a thing like that. And then came the thing on the head, and I said, what kind of role is this? And he said, well, I didn't want to tell you this, but for 30 minutes of this, you don't stop moving. I said, terrific, what do I do? He said, a belly dance. And his wife, who was the choreographer, took me into another room, and for 9 hours a day, I learned how to belly dance and sing simultaneously.
You must be a riot at party.
I mean, I can whip out my little belly button any time.
This sounds like one of your sketches on the show.
I love it.
Lucy could do you, I think.
Oh, listen, you don't know how many times I have done Lucille Ball with high notes. I did one whole role as an absolute, outright imitation of you, and every critic caught it.
What role?
The daughter of the regiment. I played Marie exactly like you would play it with high notes. That's all I did. No, thank you. It was one of my most triumphant characterizations when on national television.
How do you do that?
How did I do it? I watched reruns of how she walked when she wanted to be particularly klutzy. I watched her when she wanted to butter up to Desi and get him to forgive her for doing something terrible. I copied every gesture. You want to look at the hairdo in that picture?
Right.
If you could get that picture back, you'll see the hairdo. Move it a little closer. I did everything that you do. You see what you're doing with the fingernail? Yeah. I did that through the whole thing when I did something terrible. I copied you from A to Z. And almost every critic in every big city caught it immediately.
That's very complimentary.
No, for me, it was a lifesaver.
It worked,
let me tell you.
Let's go on to Cleopatra. That was the one that you almost quit because of Cleopatra?
Well, yes, because the director of the company had hired another woman from outside the company to do the role, which implied that there was nobody in the company who could do it. Had he hired somebody in the company, I'd never have said a word. But the fact that the need was to import, I just felt that wasn't fair to me, who had hung around as the house singer for years, singing everything. You know, just anytime they needed someone to learn a role overnight, I was there. And I felt that that was a role that I was vocally just ideal for me. It's the only role in my whole career I ever fought for.
Anyway, yes.
You know, you're talking about drive before. I just wanted to sing.
Yeah.
I never really wanted to be famous. I just wanted to sing. I loved it so.
It's interesting you should bring up bringing in other opera singers, because now as director of this whole thing, I know that you want the New York City Opera to be 95% American.
Yes.
You feel very strongly about that.
Yes, I consider my company the American National Opera.
Yes. What do we have to look forward to in the opera season for the spring? What are we going to see?
Well, we're doing a wonderful operetta called The Grand Duchess of Gerolstein, which is just a joy, and it's being directed by Jack Hofstas, the man who did Elephant Man. So I'm trying to bring in all kinds of innovative directors. And
would you ever use Charles Nelson Reilly to direct an opera for you? You know, he's been directing operas. He has.
I know Charles. Charles and I are intimate friends. I don't know. You know, we certainly have to talk about it.
All
sure.
Right. What else is new this season?
Well, we're doing something called L'Amore dei Tre Re, The Love of Three Kings. That's an opera I did many, many years ago when another singer got sick. Again, I was thrown in. But it has a cute... Do I have 1 second to tell a funny story?
I'm not
no,
sure
I don't. Well, I'm not going to say another word.
Sure we do. In the next segment, can we? All right? As we say goodbye, we're going to do this. All right? Well, we're not sure. All right, we have to take this pause, and we will work it in. If Beverly Sills has a good story, we're going to get it in. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay with us.
Why did Pat the Parachutist stop chewing Carefree and start chewing Chewels Sugarless Gum?
Chewels taste better.
Why did the Duchess of Twiddle stop and start chewing Chewels?
Chewels taste better.
Why did the Bradford Bugle Corps stop and start chewing Chewels?
Chewels taste better.
Chewels is the only sugarless gum with a delicious flavor center and taste test proof of leading sugarless gums.
Chewels taste better.
Another gray hair, Mrs. J?
Oh, the gray doesn't bother me.
But constipation does.
And lately, my laxative.
Tried X-Lax yet? Give me your hand. Meet the gentle medicine they call the overnight wonder.
This little pill?
That little pill, orange chocolatey squares. X-Lax restores your system's own natural rhythm for relief in the morning.
My own system does it?
Gently. All we do is help.
X-Lax.
Pills are chocolated. It's the overnight wonder.
The making of Taster's Choice. Take the best ground roast fresh purr coffee you know how to make. Then freeze it. To lock in all that fresh purr flavor when you remove the ice. You'll have rich, natural chunks of freeze-dried coffee made by a premium process that's unlike ordinary heat drying. Taster's Choice, regular and green label decaffeinated. The only leading coffee that's freeze-dried.
Here's news for anyone who's hit with a virus cold. If you want more help than Comtrex, there is something better. Viromed tablets. Viromed does more, relieves more miseries than any leading cold remedy. Viromed relieves nasal congestion, runny nose, cough, aches, fever, even chest congestion. Yes, there is something better. Viromed tablets. It's strong medicine for virus, colds, and flu. Viromed relieves more miseries than any leading cold remedy.
Questions they'd like to know about our guests, and I have their cards here, and I'm dying to let you know what they would like to know about all of you.
Why?
Listen, why?
Aren't you going to sing?
Oh, I'm going to sing later. Yeah, don't worry.
Dear Mr. Gable.
All right, man, they want to know, what do you think is the most noticeable change in today's movies?
They cost more.
I don't go
to the movies anymore, John. I'm too cheap to spend $4 in New York to see somebody's bare buns.
That's the thing. That's the thing.
All right. To all of you, this is all. You all seem to live. I can't read a writing. You all seem to live such hectic lives. How do you relax?
Hectic? What hectic?
Hectic. Show business?
Oh, no? Traveling on the planes, maybe.
Going to all those restaurants?
Well, oh, that's not hectic. That's fattening.
Ben,
that's
you paint.
I got off the Concorde. I went over to Rome. They flew me over to talk about a picture in a miniseries in Rome in January. And I flew back, but then that's when I got the call to come out here. And
you paint?
Paint every day of my life.
And you had a private showing just recently in New York City?
Yes. Well, no, it was at Nantucket. Not Martha's Vineyard.
Sorry.
At the Lobster Pot Gallery a year ago, 38 paintings that I sold. I didn't want to. I didn't need the money. I don't mean that. But I'm sorry I did it because it was very traumatic. Once you see those paintings go off the walls into somebody's station wagon, into the fog of Nantucket, and you'll never see them again. Not they're not going to put Grandma Moses out of business. Yeah. But I like to have them.
Yeah.
Well, think about that, folks.
Yeah, but what do you do to relax when you're not running the company?
I eat. I play bridge, and I'm a game person. I do crossword puzzles constantly. I tear out every crossword puzzle and stick them into purses.
Yeah.
I do them all the time. But I'm a game nut. I love any game.
Lucy, you're such a workaholic. I can't imagine you just sitting in a chair. Of course, you take care of your grandson. Maybe.
I don't ever just sit in a chair, but it has been traumatic not having my arena and going to work every day. After I broke my leg skiing, I had to stop because there were a lot of things. My writers were still writing good things, and I found that I couldn't do them physically. That's what really put me away, that and having to leave Gail Gordon. But I don't shop. I don't go to luncheons. Mm-hmm. I don't knit or crochet or do crewel work.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the things I don't do.
You clean a hell
and
of a house.
Now I can't, of course. Don't give me that, Mommy Dearest. I do clean. I clean as therapy. I think Beverly will understand that. I clean out closets when I'm very, very upset. I can clean a house from top to bottom.
Really?
Yeah, well, a lot of people can.
Yeah. Without putting you on the spot, how many homes do you have, places where you can live?
When we moved from the ranch, we moved into Beverly Hills. And we also build a home at Thunderbird in Palm Springs. And the snowmass I'm talking about is a condo building in snowmass.
But there are three places that you have to manage as the matriarch of this family.
Yes.
This lady can get a laugh by just one word. Just, okay. I think she's getting tired talking about taking care of all those houses. Beverly, do you miss performing?
I don't miss performing. I miss singing.
I think that's what they mean.
It's two different things. Yeah. I don't feel the need to get up in front of an audience anymore, but I just miss the discipline of getting up every morning and knowing that my coach is coming and I work out my 2 hours and go
you
through.
Oh.
I don't do anything. I haven't sung a note since I retired October 27th, 1980. Not a note.
Not a note?
Nothing.
Give me a B flat. Give me a B flat, John.
He'll give it to you.
Didn't you exercise that muscle once in a while?
What for? I did that already.
Because you miss it.
Yeah. Because you miss it.
Well, that's a whole new emotion with me. I didn't realize that I was going to miss singing.
But now you do.
Now I do, and I probably will get together with my coach in a soundproof room because I don't know what's happened to it in all this time.
Well, but it won't take long to find out.
No, no, no.
But I think that there's so many people that should hear you someplace, somehow.
No more. No. Thank you. I really think in terms of performing, that you were a great example. The time to get out is when people are saying it's too soon rather than when is that woman ever going to stop. Mm-hmm. The time to get out is when they're still clamoring to see you. I canceled over 3 years of engagements, of totally sold out engagements. Mm-hmm. That's the time to walk out, not when it's tapering off.
Beverly, so, think of the money. Think of the money that you canceled.
I don't need the money now.
Think of the managers that are after you.
That's their problem.
Hadn't thought about
that grocery bill.
No.
All right. A question for Lucy. Assuming you fight with your husband. Well, I think the average American human being, anybody. What do you fight about?
I have so few fights with Gary. I can't even remember. Oh, I remembered one. I had 5 days off, and I had been working very hard. And it meant a lot to me to go and try and find the place that I found at Snowmass. And I'd been looking in Vail and a Steamboat and Colorado Springs and a lot of places, Lake Arrowhead. I'd been looking all over. And he hadn't accompanied me. Now, it was in a beautiful second week in October. I had 5 days suddenly, and I said, Gary, I had been to Aspen, but I said, I would love to go to Aspen so that I can look at Snowmass. He said, wonderful, wonderful, fine, I have time. I looked forward, I was so tired, you know, and I was so glad to have this time off, and I planned for it so carefully, and I packed for it, and I got the camera and all the bulbs, and I thought, oh, if it would only snow while we were up there, because it was time, and we were there in time for the aspen trees. And, you know, all these things were so important to me. And we got up there, and it was out of season, and they opened up 2 suites for us. I had 2 kitchens, and we went fishing at General Anderson's place, and we caught trout. I brought them back, and I sort of ran in and quietly called my mother. How do you fix the trout? I had forgotten. But the fireplaces were roaring. And the first snow fell that night. It was divine. It was so beautiful. And the beds were comfortable, and the place was just divine. And in the middle of the night, he said, I hate this bed, and I want to leave. And the next morning, he was ready to leave. He said, I can't stand it. I have claustrophobia. The bed's too small. You know, he's 6'4". And I said, but we'll get another bed. We'll build one. We'll do anything. But I have 4 more days. And he said, please, I can't stand it. We hadn't been married that long, and I didn't know him that well. And he didn't do it to hurt me in any way. But I didn't speak to him all the long drive to Denver. That was 5-hour drive to Denver, and 5 days longer I still didn't speak. And by the time I spoke to him, I'd forgotten what the fight was about. Now, if you ask about the other husband, which you're not going
to. No, that's all right.
I got plenty of those stories.
All right. There's a card here that I want to make sure I got to.
It made you nervous, eh?
Here. Yes, you did. Such a wonderful story. Beverly, what role has your husband played in your career?
In my career, none, except being supportive. My husband is an outdoorsman. He would have been happy to be with you fishing, and he'd have shown you how to do the trouts and everything. My husband is a huntsman and a fisherman.
And a good cook.
And a marvelous cook. And his main role is that he's been very supportive and very proud that I was a singer, and I think kind of relieved when I stopped being one.
He's also kind of a tattletale, because you know what he told us today?
What?
This is your 25th wedding anniversary.
Yes, it is.
With Janine Bernier, who'll join all our redheads.
If in all the world you could have only one source of news and information, what would you want it to be? Think about that for a second. Only one source of news and information. What would it be? If you say Time Magazine, you're not alone. More than 29 million people all over the world turn to Time's lively pages each week to catch up on what's new and what's news everywhere in every field. With writing so fresh and pictures so colorful, you enjoy every minute and start looking forward to the next issue. When? Time is back again with the latest books and movies. What's happening with sports, business, and people? And what may happen next? In all, Time gives you 30 exciting departments of news and ideas. And now, Time makes its biggest offer ever. We'll send you 22 weeks of Time for less than 77 cents an issue. That's 22 issues for only $16.97, almost half Time's cover price. So call toll-free 1-800-621-8200. Oh, by the way, with your paid subscription, we'll also send you an entire encyclopedia absolutely free. The just-published Time Desk Encyclopedia. Call 1-800-621-8200. Get Time's new desk encyclopedia free. And Time for almost half off the cover price. Our operators are standing by. Remember, Time is nearly half price. And the encyclopedia, all three volumes, is free.
Red Tag inventory clearance now in progress at Carpeteria. Carpeting, no wax vinyl flooring, reduced up to 30% off. Don't wait. Catch the Red Tag sale while it's on. Buy now and save at Carpeteria.
I love to shop, especially when I come away from the Estee Lauder counter with a wonderful gift. And best of all, it's free. This whole Estee Lauder collection, a $20 value, is your free gift with any Estee Lauder purchase of $7.50 or more. Imagine going shopping these days and coming home with something free.
Your Estee Lauder gift is available through February 6th at all 15 Buffum stores.
This Sunday at Santa Anita, don't miss the $250,000 Charles H. Stroob Stakes. It could be a very rewarding experience.
Henry Fonda, Charles Bronson, World War II battle action, The Battle of the Bulge, Saturday night at 11:30 here on Channel 5. KTLA, Channel 5, Los Angeles.
Janine Bernier is with us today. She's a housewife, she's a comedian. She's been here so many times. She's just like a member of the family, so much so that we're thinking of putting her up for adoption. She's a very funny lady, much funnier than that joke. Would you welcome Janine Bernier? Our show
it's
backstage.
It's a wonderful show. It's a wonderful show, except I had thought the flowers were for me. They
they went right by me and brought him out here.
We've just been talking about music. I don't know that you've ever had music in your career.
Yes. I studied at Juilliard for 3 years. I was there on a hockey scholarship. I have what they call a legitimate voice.
Yes.
Which means at the time I took voice lessons, my parents were married. You'll have to go faster. All right.
Do you play any musical instrument?
Yes, people are always surprised to find out about that. I play a jazz triangle.
No.
Yeah. Well, it is kind of a specialty. there aren't a lot of us jazz trianglers left. It's expensive being a musician, you know that, don't you?
No.
Oh, it is. It's very expensive. I couldn't even afford to buy a triangle. My triangle was an old G-string that I had cast. It's true. Cast is the past tense of chaste. And then the past perfect of being chaste is getting caught. And then the pluperfect is heaven. You see, you determine tense by conjugating, and then you determine person by declining.
I see that. Yes.
If you would decline to conjugate with the wrong person, you could get tense that way.
Yes. At home, they're writing this down. They're getting
You're
it.
You're very
right.
Slow at this. You'll have to stick around, and later on, we'll talk about dangling participles.
We've done... Wait. Lucy, pull yourself together.
I like it.
Yes, it's good.
I like it.
We've talked all about how we've all started in show business.
Oh, I know that.
How did you start in show business?
It's almost the typical show business story. It really is. You know, I ran away from home when I was only 29. I did. I just took off. I did not leave a note or anything. You know, I had always been a kind of a spunky kid. And I went to New York City, and I took the bus, and of course I was scared to death. I had never driven one of those big things before. And I had a terrible time trying to find work. You know, it was awful.
Really? What kind of a job were you looking for?
Well, no, I was no good at that. No, that's why I ran away from home. No, I wanted to dance in the worst way, and of course I did. So I looked for work as a dancer, and things started to happen. I toured for a season with the roller derby, doubling as a language consultant. And then I did get a break. For 4 years, I was featured with the June Taylor Dancers on
what?
Radio. Yeah. Good, some of you saw me. Well, all of that was preparing me for my debut as a prima ballerina. And I made my debut in Swan Lake. You know, but it was the old story, right?
Swan
too much,
Lake?
Too soon. I wasn't ready for Swan Lake. I mean, I had done Goose River a couple of times and summer stop. But do you know
Swan Lake?
Do you know the story of Swan Lake?
No, I don't really.
Well, it's this tragic love story. It's all about this handsome Prince Siegfried, and he falls in love with a beautiful maiden, and then she turns into a swan. You know, which makes it kind of difficult for them to maintain any kind of a meaningful relationship. I mean, he has to have a hunting license, she has to be in season, and the thing just goes on and on and on. Well, it does. It does. And that's why the ballet, I think, is so tragic. Well, the night I danced it, it bordered on the pathetic, because what happened was, and this was with no warning at all, Swan Lake backed up. It caught the prince and me in fifth position, which is a ballet term. Well, I didn't know what to do. You know, I tried to shift into third and our calves locked. And so finally, I just threw my hips into overdrive and it stripped his tights and burned out my tutu. Well, I never danced again and the prince never walked again. It was awful.
You left all that.
Yes,
right?
I split. That eventually healed.
Yes.
And
you're on a roll today. You came out to the West Coast.
Yes. As soon as I heard about the gold. I did. I came west, and
and that was a whole
I worked as a I hit the skids. I worked as a stripper for a while. I got the job during a Hire the Handicap drive, and then things did pick up. No, I got a manager. I got a manager. He got me a fight. Then she believes it all. I love it. Then Then I got started on television, and well, I like to mention that because I think they may remember me from television. I played the key role in a very successful series.
Which was that?
Oh, I played the part of the wife of the fugitive.
The fugitive?
His wife.
He was always running.
Yeah, she was on the first night, and she got killed. That's all right. Gee, in Grand Rapids, that's one of my biggest jokes. Anyway, the rest is history. Here I am.
No, it's and it's more than here. You and your romances have kept us alive on the show. Last time you were on the show, you talked about how to keep a relationship romantic, how to keep it going over the years. And any new thoughts on that?
Well, I just finished reading a new book, as a matter of fact, called Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Sex But Could Never Stay Awake Long Enough to Find Out. Well, that happened. She should be talking about how to keep a relationship going 25 years and that wonderful bouquet. Anyway, what this article... she wanted a diamond. No. Anyway, what the article... the book stressed was the importance, and you were mentioning this, wanting to go away together, get away from your humdrum, ordinary routine and go off someplace together. That's what the book said would keep the romance going, and it suggested camping because of the back to nature thing and all
sure.
that. So my husband and I gave that a try. We went camping, and I'm here to tell you, if your marriage is on the brink of disaster, camping out might be all it takes to push it right over the edge. Yeah, because it was a big mistake for us because we're not the outdoor type, and you can't fake anything like that. I mean, my idea of really roughing it is to run barefoot through the lobby of a Holiday Inn. Well, here we were going to the woods, and it was a big mistake for us. We drove through the giant redwoods. Now, that took a whole lot longer than we thought because they don't all have holes in them yet. They do not. Anyway, and I had this camping manual. It was called How to Conquer the Wilderness, and it had been written by a shut-in. Well, the book said...
Could you slow down for a second? Lucy has to get her breath.
The first thing you do when you get to your campsite is you unpack your essential needs, and then you drink them. And you try to figure out what on earth the two of you are doing alone in the woods. And, of course, you have to get your meal prepared. You have to put up your lodging for the night. Now, it was my husband's job to go out and get the fuel. I mean, like we were going to live off the land. You know, he took the hand axe, and they call it a hand axe because that is the first thing that you cut with it. And he took the hand axe to get the fuel. He was gone 2 hours. I found him hacking away at the top of a paper bag of charcoal in the trunk of the car. Well, he yelled timber. The trunk lid fell right on his head. I had to drag him back to the campsite, and it left me all alone to put up the tent. Well, you know, we were beginners. I didn't know what I was doing. I got out the tent instructions, and they said, you know, in order to assemble this tent, you will need two strong poles. Well, I don't know two strong poles.
I thought that was coming.
And if I did, I certainly would not take them on a camping trip with my husband. You know, all I had was this weak German with a piece of rope, and he was trying to hang himself. So my advice to all of you married ladies is stay out of the woods. That's my story.
Janine Bernier was here. We all love her. We'll be right back with the song.
What pay TV service brings you exclusive live coverage of the Dodgers, the Lakers, the Angels, the Kings, Santa Anita, USC, UCLA Sports, and Championship Boxing? Only ON shows them all. Plus, in March, ON will bring you Holmes versus Cooney. Reserve your seat by calling ON now.
How much should it cost you to have your taxes done? I'm Henry Block with number 3 of my 17 reasons why H&R Block should prepare your taxes. Fair prices. Our prices are based on the complexity of your tax return, so you can expect to pay less for the 1040A, the short form, than for the more complicated 1040 long form. Call or visit a nearby H&R Block office, and we'll be happy to give you an estimated price. What will you get for your money? At H&R Block, you'll be interviewed by a person specially trained to know the complicated new tax laws and how they apply to you. Your return will be filled out, then double-checked by a second person to assure accuracy. Millions of our customers come back to us year after year. I expect it's because we give them value for their money.
H&R Block. 17 reasons, one smart decision.
Saturday at 8.
Yes, what is it you're looking for, sir?
Love Bird.
Tippi Hedren, Rod Taylor, and Suzanne Plachet star in Alfred Hitchcock's horror classic, The Birds.
I think you're the cause of all this. I think you're evil. Evil!
There is no place to run from the terror of Hitchcock's The Birds. Saturday at 8 on Channel 5.
You know, I think about this often on the show. I grew up in West Bridgewater, Massachusetts. I moved away from there when I was about 13, 1953. And I used to play with buddies like Dickie Chisholm, Bobby Crowley, Richard Swan, Billy Turner. My girlfriend was Franny Skelton, my first girlfriend. I often think, are they watching the show now? Do they see me here talking to Lucille Ball, Van Johnson, Janine Bernier, Beverly Sills? This beautiful set. I'd love to see what they're doing now. But if they could see me now, that little gang of mine, I'm eating fancy chow and drinking fancy wine. I'd love those stumbled bones to see for a fact the kind of top drawer first-rate folks I attract. All I can say is, wow, just look at where I am. Today I've stumbled, pow, right in a pot of jam. What a setup, holy cow, they'd never believe me if my friends could see me now. If they could see me now, that little dusty group traipsing round this $1 million chicken coop, I'd hear my buddies saying, hey, Hammy, what gives? My middle name is Hamilton. He used to call me Hammy. Hammy. Tonight it's living like the other half lives. To think the highest brow, which I must say is she, could pick the lowest brow, which there's no doubt is me. What a setup. Holy cow, they'd never believe it if those friends could see me now. All I can say is, wow, just look at where I am. Today I've landed, wow, right in a pot of jam. What a setup. Holy cow, they never believe me if my friends could see me. If all those friends could see me now. Thank you. We'll be right back to say goodbye to all our friends.
For all you fans who will go through a lot for your favorite sport, for all you fans who really love sports and take it very seriously, there's one magazine that's just as serious about sports as you are. Sports Illustrated. Every week, Sports Illustrated gives you the most colorful coverage of sports you can get. Not just the scores, but the stories behind the scores, the victories and defeats. Sports Illustrated understands how you feel.
And here comes round one.
Sports Illustrated was there when Sugar Ray stopped Hearns in that 100-degree inferno of Vegas. And what about 1982? Will the Yankees and Dodgers go all the way again? Will those millionaire free agents earn their keep? Who cares? You care. Because it's all exciting. Because it's all sports.
It's going, going!
From the 50-yard line to the 18th green, from ringside to courtside, from behind the plate to under the basket, we care about sports just as much as you do. The college games, the pros, the heroes, and the goats. Sports Illustrated covers it all every week.
Hey, I'm Rocky Blyer, and I love all sports, and that's why I read Sports Illustrated. And they've got a great deal for you. 26 issues for $17.77. That's the basic rate of only 69 cents a copy, less than half the $1.50 cover price. And you also get this Sports Illustrated sports shirt in your size, absolutely free. Just call 1-800-621-8200 now and get 26 weeks of Sports Illustrated, including the year in sports. And with your paid subscription, you'll also get a Sports Illustrated sports shirt free. Come on, call now, 1-800-621-8200. Get Sports Illustrated and a free Sports Illustrated sports shirt. 1-800-621-8200. Give them a call.
This has been such a wonderful day to be with people who you admire and respect so much as the three of you.
You've got good taste, Charlie.
Ben Johnson, thank you. And Lucille Ball, thank you so much, my dear.
Thank you. Please. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Lucy.
Kiss Beverly.
I'm about to do that. Thank you, Beverly.
Oh, you kiss good.
We have to say goodbye. I'll be here next time. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Tonight at 7:30, complete and uncut, Bruce Dern and Karen Black star in Alfred Hitchcock's story of relative intrigue, Family Plot. Tomorrow at 8, UCLA takes on crosstown rival USC in exciting basketball action live from Pauley Pavilion here on Channel 5. Now, stay tuned for Richard Simmons next. John Davidson's wardrobe provided by Henry Greffel. Pontiac's new four-cylinder front-wheel drive J2000 Coupe. Sleek and streamlined with an impressive list of standard features. An exciting new way to take on a highway in style. Furnished by Pontiac. The MVP microwave oven from Magic Chef. The combination microwave oven vent hood that rises above the problem of where to put it. Furnished by Magic Chef. Be everything you can be with Mary Kay Cosmetics. Skincare and glamour cosmetics presented to you in your own home by trained consultants. Mary Kay Cosmetics, Dallas, Texas. Garanimals, separate tops and bottoms for kids that coordinate by matching animal tags. Garanimals, top value at terrific prices. Quality never looked better.
Introducing Arid Spray and Roll-On in a new Baby Fresh scent.
Tough on wetness and odor.
But Baby Fresh on you.
Try new Arid Baby Fresh Spray and Roll-On.
This is Jerry Bishop speaking.